to the official podcast for St. Philip's Episcopal Church in Rochester, Michigan. You can learn more about our church at our website, stpfeeds.org. Our Sunday services are at 8 and 10 a.m., and all are welcome.
This podcast is a sermon for March 3rd, 2024, the third Sunday in Lent, by Father John Muhlendijk.
Today is the middle of Lent, and of course, it's a time of repentance. It's a time of look inwardly, and it's a time, once again, of reading the what commandments? We just read them. The Ten Commandments. Ten Commandments. When I was a child, that's all I heard at the beginning of every single Sunday was the Ten Commandments. They started it. I'm the Lord your God, and don't covet, don't lie, and you almost want to cover your ears on it. But that became so entrenched in me that it also carried with me the connotations of what was going on at that time. My father gave me a book when I was young. It was a little brown book, kind of about a little smaller than this, and it had a whole bunch of stories in it. And the one story was, who stole the watermelon? I don't know if you read that or not. It's old one back in the 1950s or 40s. And it's about this little kid who went out, and his father, my mother gave him some watermelon to eat. He thought it was really good, so they didn't have a lot of money, so they cut the watermelon in half, and they gave half of it to the kids, and the other half they kept in the refrigerator. And lo and behold, he got a hold of his brother, and the two of them went, and they took the watermelon out of the refrigerator, snuck it to the back porch, and they ate the rest of the watermelon. Well, what they were doing while they were eating the watermelon, they was taking the pits and they were spitting them up over the fence next to the porch. And so they spit them all out. And later on, the father came down and said, "What happened to the watermelon?" And the kids said, "I don't know what happened to the watermelon." And both of them kind of like, like this. And, "Well, who stole the watermelon?" "We don't know. Somebody must have come in and taken the watermelon. We have no idea." And so that was that. The days in the summertime, watermelons in the summer, the days continued to increase, and the sun got warmer. And one day the father was looking over the fence. He saw all of these little teeny plants growing up. And of course, there were little watermelon plants. And so the father called the little kids in and said, "What'd you do with that watermelon?" And, "We don't know what happened to the watermelon." And then he said, "What are these?" And there were little watermelon plants. And the moral of the story was, you can about guess it. Who stole the watermelon? You stole the watermelon. It was like this, you know, this finger from God coming down. And I remember that story to this day. You just don't do that. You watch the commandments. You don't do that. And by the way, God's going to catch you one way or another by growing something in your life. And I had a hard time with that. And the only thing I really got out of that story when I was really young was, don't spit watermelon seeds over the fence. So, but we have a lot of things like that. When we do the Ten Commandments, we have all of these conceptions in our head of what the Ten Commandments mean. And I don't think Jesus was that really concerned about what the Ten Commandments were. He was concerned about corporate greed, about sin in the world, about how the Romans were oppressing people. It was the larger issues if you go back and read Scripture. And he wasn't minutely picking at you for it. So why do we have the Ten Commandments at all? Well, if we go back and we take a look, if we put the Ten Commandments in the middle, there's two ways to go. One is you can go forward and say, well, if I follow the Ten Commandments perfectly, all the way down, then I'll be even closer to God. And if I pray and I go to confession, then someday I'm going to get rewarded in heaven. That's kind of what we've been taught. The other way to go is saying, well, where do they come from? Well, the people were, let's see, let's go back. You know, people were bad. They got out of Egypt. Oh, you know, before that, it was, oh, they were in the Garden of Eden. That's right. They were not good. The whole Garden of Eden was performed perfectly. It was created great. And then, of course, human sin. And then we they went down, and then they had to have the Ten Commandments to bring it back. So you've got a whole story based upon a God who's very angry. We talk about a loving God, but you know, the first thing he does when you do something a little bit off track was he bashes you. So now we've got this concept of an angry God in our head, somebody who's going to punish you, and if you don't do it right, you know, you're going to get it. So the Ten Commandments come in from the center of what the church is. But Christ really never meant the Ten Commandments to be viewed that way. In order to bring that to highlight, I want to address again as a Franciscan today. I want to re-spin the story of creation and salvation over the next three Sundays. If you want to look at it in traditional ways, instead of a Franciscan view, which is, I'm making the story up today from St. Francis, because he's not around to give it to you, but he had a totally different view of the world. It's about creation, God the Father. Next week, God the Son. The following week, the Holy Spirit. So if you can't figure this out, I'm going from Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Okay? In the traditional way of looking at the world, things were created good and perfect, and everything was finished, right? All done. It was static. Nothing needed to be done. But in a Franciscan way of looking at the world, things are moving. And we know more of that today than ever before because we've got the telescopes up there who are looking up and seeing the skies and seeing not only millions of stars, but what we're seeing is galaxies with millions of stars in the galaxy. And they're still forming. They haven't stopped. We know from us that things do move. And I notice that when I get up every morning and I look in the mirror. There's another hair, there's another wrinkle, you know. Things are moving along, you know, and you know where this is going to end up. So things are always proceeding. And if you look at that and you begin with creation, with things that are moving, it creates a different picture. It's God created and isn't finished. So things are moving along. So things happen in life that we don't understand, but it's part of this unfolding, this developing, this molding of what's going on. And we always want to go, many times, we want to go back and put both feet down saying, we've got to return to the way it was. But it's moving. We don't like things that are moving. St. Francis knew that. He knew that. As he went out and wasn't in nature, listened to the birds, touched the animals, lived with them, he wasn't listening with a lot of other stuff around him. It was very, very quiet. In the midst of that quietness, he began to see the movement. Most of you go out in nature at least once in a while, don't you? You remember being as a kid, if you're not now, going out to a stream, getting in a stream, putting your feet in a stream, sometimes jumping in and floating down a stream. Have you done that? No? Never? Have you done it on a little raft, a little plastic raft? No? Okay, you've done that. And the water moves. And it's kind of fun to do that until you do what happens. You fall over, or you hit a rock, or you hit a branch, and you got to push it away, or a spider lands on you, and it like this. But what happens is the water continues to move. You may hit a rock and you spin around, and then boom, you start to go down the stream again. That's life in a Franciscan way. Actually, that's kind of life the way Jesus was taught to teach you. It's always moving. And the whole thing about that is we have incidences in our life that we don't like. People die. We lose our money. We lose our home. We get disoriented. We don't like those things. So that's part of being held up by the stream, being in the stream, being held up by it. But the water continues to move. And the water, if you want to think about it, is really Jesus. It's really God floating you down the stream. And the problem with that is that when we get uncomfortable, we want to do what? Get out of the stream. So what do? We get up and try to climb up the muddy hill, get our feet muddy and get dirty, and we start to go through the woods because we know better. We can do it ourselves. We don't need that, and we don't need hitting rocks and spiders dropping down us. Even if the stream is flowing where we should be, we don't like it. So we head out, and we go out into the woods. And of course, we stop into the woods, and the first thing you do is a branch hits us. The next thing is a bug bites us. And then we stumble on a stone, and something hits our shin, and we keep going. But we are going to make it. And the stream's right over there, but we're not going to go back to that stream because we don't like the way it was. We'll do it ourselves. And in order to keep going, we've got to develop an image. We've got to get tough. We've got to give a hard core image, not the soft stuff in the stream. And so what we do, we form a glossy face. That glossy face we face everybody with. We don't tell them what's going on underneath, which is not so beautiful, but we have this face. We can go through and at work we can pretend we know it all. We can go out with friends, give them only part of what we know. We show the gloss. And it works for a while. The whole thing is it doesn't work for very long. Because life continues to come through. As we go through the woods, we fall, we stumble, and we try to keep pushing forth. And all the time, God keeps hearing us, hears us again and again. He says the sounds of the wood, the sounds of prophets, and we don't listen. Finally, God sends the Ten Commandments. It's like a signpost in the middle of the woods that says, the stream is over there. And we listen, and we look, and then we go on and do our own thing again. The Ten Commandments are not there in order to point a finger at you and convict you. That was never why they were created. They were created to protect you. And God knows that you need time alone in silence by yourself in order to hear his voice. So when you're not lying, when you're not stealing, when you're not coveting, wanting what somebody else wants, you have a chance to center with yourself. It was a protective mechanism that if you follow the commandments here, just the basic ones, you're going to have time to change. It wasn't meant to point a finger at you. God is all loving. God cannot hate, and God cannot be angry. In the scripture, we hear God being angry because that's the way people saw it centuries ago. But God is all loving. Jesus showed us that there's nothing but love in this world. You can't do it wrong. So many people have heard that so many times from me. You can't do it wrong because God's always under there supporting you. The question is, do you see it? But again, you know, despite that, people want to go out and show their best face. And God says, just center yourself. You don't need this stuff. And it says, I'll show you how that works. Keep wanting it. Keep running into different things. Get your own way. How about your David stuff? Keep lying. Keep doing what you want to do. And then your life shatters. And each of you know at some point in your life that your life has shattered. That's a moment that God is talking to you and saying, listen. The stream of life is over there. You're going to have knocks and bumps in the stream. You're going to hit the rocks. But I'm there with you, floating you down the stream to eternal life. Stay with me. You don't need to go through the woods. Today, hopefully, each of you got a little piece of the pottery. You got that? Take it. You're going to take that home with you. Hopefully this week you'll take it home with you. And I want you to put it in your kitchen or on your dining room table, whatever you have, and take a look at the shiny side. That's me. Yeah, I like that side. You're going to be tempted to just look at that side. I know it. You're going to put it up and put that side out. The whole thing is, though, flip it over and look at what your inside look like. What do you really like on the inside? And feel that. It's not necessarily pretty to you, but God accepts all of you, both the shiny side as well as the dark side. And then more importantly this week, because it's Lent, feel the edges, okay? Take it out, feel the edges. Find them to be smooth? Not really, they're sharp. Sharp edges. We do things, we do sharp things to ourselves, and we do sharp things to other people. And this is a reminder of how sharp our tongue and our lives can become. It's a time to repent, a time to go away, a time to give up a false sense of self, and a time to go back into the stream of life. Jesus Christ gives that life, and next week we'll pick up on that as to what this means for Lent. You want more, don't you? You'll have to wait till next week. But outside that, you are, if you have any sins, and it's really covering you today, you're all forgiven in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.